So what advice can we give to the person that lost their father and grandfather last year and went through a bad breakup? They're saying they're having a hard time trusting anyone. What can they do?
Three major losses in 12 months is quite heavy. And if you look at the stress scale, that's going to probably get up to about 250 to 300 points. And 300 points on the stress scale is actually considered to be quite high, according to the stress scales that have been developed and also revised. So using the point system, it looks like you might be scoring out of 300, about 250 to 300. So that's pretty relevant. And that means that your response to this is quite normal. I don't believe for a minute that a person who loses their father, their grandfather, and an important person in their life is going to say, okay, well, that's just the way it is. I'll go out and buy a new dress, go dancing, and I'll be over with it. That doesn't happen. Normal people will go through the process. Now, where does the trust issue come in? Is because unconsciously, we see that people are always supposed to be there. They're never supposed to die. Even though we unconsciously don't want them to, even though consciously we don't want them to die, we know that it's the only thing that we're guaranteed in life is that we are going to die. We hope to live a long, healthy life. We hope that we'll always be some kind of connection with person, but the reality is that people do die. Interesting with humans, the only thing that we're guaranteed is death, but it's the last thing that we ever want to deal with. So what we see then is those who are the closest to us, we learn to basic trust and respect relationship, which means that we're willing to be vulnerable with them as they are with us. The closest people that you're going to be with in life are the people that you do trust and respect. When those very people die, even though consciously you know that death is inevitable, unconsciously you still want to hold on. In the dealings of death and breakup, we go through the denial, the anger, the bargaining. Depression is probably a sub-emotion through the whole process before we even get to acceptance. Well, what we know in dealing with the anger part is we're feeling hurt that that person left. Well, how could a person who is that close to us, like a father, a grandfather, or a person who we choose to have as a partner in life, could ever abandon us? Well, that's where the anger comes in. That's the psychological interpretation. Dealing with this means that what you're willing to do in the way that you wrote that SMS is admit to things on a psychological level that a lot of people don't deal with openly. They go through the grieving process but never deal with the psychological issues. Obviously, you're a very sensitive person, very thoughtful person. Sometimes you may be too analytical for your own good, and this might be one of those situations where you're overanalyzing the obvious. It's healthy on one side, but on the other side, when you allow that overanalysis to take control, you may find it difficult to ever cope with the fact that is inevitable, that people that you love will die.
Mm. Does that mean then, as you work your way naturally through the grieving process, you will start to feel better and it will naturally come that feeling of trust again, being open to another relationship again?
You have to allow yourself to go through the grieving process. When you fixate on the anger or the bargaining, you don't allow yourself to go through it, you will have a lot of difficulty getting to acceptance. You may intellectually understand that the person's dead, they're never coming back, or the breakup is over, not going to ever relate to that person again. But unconsciously, you're motivated by your unconscious. So unconsciously, you may have difficulty letting go.
Good morning, Suzanne and Dr. Raymond. I feel that I'm not living, just existing, and I do not have interest in living. I've seen so many psychologists, but yet nothing has changed. I'm tired, very tired to live. So this is a very concerning SMS.
The psychology of change is that some people do resist change. Sometimes people are afraid of change. Some people would rather live with the negatives of their existence than to look at the positives, because at least with the negatives, they know what to expect from themselves. They know what to expect from others. And by having that kind of negative expectation will actually cause you less frustration. The fear of change means that you're going to have to take on new challenges, new ways of behaving, and also deal with the fact that you're not going to always be able to predict what somebody else will do or predict what you're going to do. This may be more related to the resistance to change. At least it's something to consider. Now, not knowing you personally in a professional setting, it's impossible for me to give you the correct answer on everything that's going on. Don't need to blame psychologists if you're not better. You need to look at yourself and what resistance you're having to change that will enable you to understand. Now, the reason I'm saying that is what's more important than getting to the end result is looking at your own personality dynamics, how you are resisting the change that will disable you to get to the end result. By understanding that, the end result is inevitable.
Be optimistic, though. You know, as much as you may be feeling negative and you feel like you can't do anything about that, you need to find a way to open that door, really, that inner door to better things and that feeling better, happiness, you know, finding that, the eternal world. I mean, people have been texting in today, how do we get balance in our lives, busy lives, family, children, how do we get balance? How do we get to that place where we're not saying you have to feel happy and elated 24/7, but about getting the equilibrium back into your life, which is what we started with, really, with regards to stress.
A lot of people are very capable of getting into a help mode situation and looking at the behavioral aspects to change their way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Some people, as this particular listener writes in, seems to be more analytical than they need to be. And as a result, it has to be addressed as such. They cannot be ignoring that. So when you see a professional, that professional who is sensitive to the needs of their patient will realize we have to address this. And then we get into the behavior modification processes. But being able to address that will help you comfortably know that you're okay. Now, where will you be okay if you do make changes?
My wife had cancer 3 years ago and she's okay now. I have a 7-year-old son and I'm stressed and always thinking that I might get the same disease or what will happen to my child's future if my wife or I get sick. What can I do? So this anxiety, this idea of doom, really.
It's a classical conditioning scenario where you match a negative with a person, place, or situation. It's the Pavlovian kind of connection. And here there may be also some elements of that adjustment disorder or even post-traumatic stress disorder where it was a life-threatening situation. And that was a compromise to the physical as well as the psychological integrity of the individual, yourself as a partner, and the family at large. So there is a desensitization process, and this process can be helped. There are techniques that psychologists would use in the systematic desensitization is very helpful and also expedites the natural process of recovery. You can't ignore or bypass the pattern. You have to expeditiously go through the pattern.
And before we let you go, Dr. Raymond, one of our listeners has texted back in reaction to the, we were talking earlier about the stages of love that you go through and if you're in a long-term relationship, how love may change or may even go. And they've come back and said, I'm still in love with my wife after 33 years together. It has not faded or dissipated. Are we unique? Well, I say congratulations and thank you for celebrating the fact that you are still in love with your wife. You're both in love with each other after 33 years. And it, of course, it's possible.
It is, and 2.2% of the population will actually have that same experience. So if 2.2% are unique, then congratulations on being part of that uniqueness. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen with everybody, which is why we have these conversations on the air and also in the clinics.
And we'll be having the same conversation with your issues, your stories, next week with Dr. Raymond Hamdan. He's a clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. Your contact details, please, Doctor.
The telephone number is 04-365-8578.